Now, there is one final, well, in fact, there are really two final reasons that I offer as proof that this is the Word of God. One is the transformed lives of believers today. I have seen what the Word of God can do in the lives of men and women. I'm thinking right now of a man who listened to this program up in Oakland, California. I know this man. This man was, and I'm not going into detail in his life at all, but he probably had as many problems, he had as many hang-ups, he was in as much sin as any man that I know anything about. And did you know that this man began to listen to the radio program, and I hear people just hear it for the first time and are converted? That's wonderful, and I think it's possible. But this man listened to it for week after week, and he became antagonistic. He became angry. He said to me that if I could have got to you when you told me, when you were teaching the epistle to the Romans, that I was a sinner, he said, I would have hit you in the nose. And frankly, friends, I think he could have done it. He's much bigger than I am and much younger than I am. I'm glad he couldn't get to me. That's another reason to appreciate this radio, by the way. You can keep a big fellow like that at arm's length, and you can still call him a sinner. And so this man, though, turned to Christ. May I say to you, it's been wonderful to see what God has done in his life. Some time ago, I read a letter of an entire family way back in Indianapolis. Through the Word of God, they came to a saving knowledge of Christ, and an entire family is changed. May I say to you, friends, that again and again and again and again, this could be multiplied of those who've had their lives transformed by coming to Christ. Now let me give you a reason. It's a rather personal reason. And I generally am personal, but this may be even a little more personal. When I finished seminary, I was what would be called a preacher who preached in the realm of the defense of the gospel. And I attempted to defend the Bible. In fact, I think every message I had entered into that area. And I felt that if I could get just enough answers to the questions that people have for not believing the Bible, that I'd be able to just mow them down. And I attempted to get them. And I found out that in certain cases, though, where I could answer the individual, that the worst thing in the world to do would be to whip a man down intellectually. The minute that you do that, you've made an enemy, and you'll never win him for the Lord. And so I found out that I was being self-defeated by that method. So I moved out of the realm of apologetics, because I was an apologetic preacher. And I moved into another area of just giving out the Word of God simply as we attempt to do it. And the reason that I've done this is because there's been a certain development in my own life, and that is I've reached the place today where I not only believe that this is the Word of God. May I say this to you? And I don't want to appear to be overly dogmatic, and that is, I want to say that I know it's the Word of God. And I know it's the Word of God because of the fact that the Spirit of God has made it real to my own heart and my own life. That's the reason that I know this is the Word of God. And that was the thing that you'll recall that Paul talked to the Colossians about. He said to them that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he prayed for that. And that would be the thing that I'd want people to pray about. I thank God for the great army of folk that continue to remember us in prayer physically, for physical strength. Friends, I also want to be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, because I found out that the Spirit of God can confirm these things to your heart, and that you don't need archaeology. Some young preacher said to me some time ago, "Dr. McGee, isn't it wonderful that they have discovered this?" And he mentioned something in particular. And I said, "Well, I don't see anything to be excited about." And he was greatly disappointed and even chagrined that I was so far away from it that I did not respond in any way. And so, why, he says, "What do you mean? Is it possible that this hasn't impressed you?" Well, I said, "Did you know I already knew it was the Word of God long before the spade of the archaeologists turned that up?" And he said, "How did you know it?" Well, I said, "The Spirit of God's been making it real to my own heart." Friends, may I say to you, and this has been personal, I pray for you who listen to this program as we enter into the 5-year program, that the Spirit of God is going to make the Word of God not only real to you, to incorporate into your living, but He's going to give you that assurance that you can say today, "I know that it's the Word of God. And if the Bible says 2 + 2 = 5, I'll know that sometime in the past or sometime in the future, 2 + 2 is going to equal 5. But the interesting thing is, the Bible doesn't say that. It's only man who make errors with figures, not the Word of God. Now, we want to look at actually some guidelines, 7 to be exact. And I'd like to open today with this scripture, which we opened with before. The scripture I want to begin with is Psalm 119:18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And when the psalmist wrote these lines, of course, he had in mind the Mosaic system primarily. But we widen that out to include the 66 books of the Bible and can say today, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of the Bible." And so with that thought in mind, we look at these guidelines. Now, there are certain guidelines that each of us should follow relative to the Word of God. You may want to add to these, but I believe that the ones we're mentioning are basic and primary. And I'd like to put it like this. I guarantee that if you follow these guidelines, blessing will come to your heart and your life. Certainly, there should be these directions in the study of Scripture. Today, for instance, a bottle of patent medicine, no matter how simple it might be just a tonic, or it might be something for a cold. It has directions for the use of it. I even noticed that a bottle of aspirin has on it directions. And any little gadget that you buy in a 5- and 10-cent store, and I must pause to say that probably is no misnomer today, like the 5- and 10-cent store. You can't find anything in there that sells anymore for 5 and 10 cents. It's generally up in the dollar bracket today, but any gadget that you buy there always has with it directions for its operation. I know that I bought my daughter, when she was a little girl, a toy. And it had with it directions. You had to assemble it. And I took it out to give to her, and I thought, well, I'd put it together. And I want to tell you, friends, I never got into a thing as complicated as that was. And the directions were right there with it. Not only directions, but pictures. And even with all of that help, I had my problems. Well, if things in this world today are like that, then certainly the Word of God needs directions in order to read and to study it. A Word of God should have a few directions and a few instructions on the study of it. Now, I'm going to mention seven very simple yet basic preliminary statements that will be a guide for the study of the Scriptures, and we're going to attempt to follow them. Well, let me mention the seven to you. Begin with prayer. That's number one, and we're going to talk about each one of these. Second, read the Bible. Third, study the Bible. And fourth, meditate on the Bible. And fifth, read what others have written on the Scriptures. And now the sixth one is obey the Bible. Obedience. That is all important. Now, number seven is pass it on to others. Someone has put it in this very brief, cogent manner. The Bible, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, sow it in the world. Well, that's another way of saying some of the things that we are going to talk about here.